A slice of dehydrated apple pie. That sounds gross, actually. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Timmy Iverson, a.k.a. Timmy the Cripple. We talked to him about people touching him and the laying on of hands to heal.
We're geeks without God.
Hey, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hey!
And Tim Wick.
Hey!
Oh, he one-up me there.
Two-up.
Oh, shit.
And we are recording at OmegaCon.
Woo!
Yay!
OmegaCon is a small relax-a-con full of slack in Siren, Wisconsin, and we go every fall. Tim also goes in the spring. And we are here with our guest today, Timmy Iverson.
Yay!
Yay,
wait, I'll up you all. Watch. Hey!
Oh, hey,
hey. Damn, you guys.
Psst, Timmy's gay.
Yeah. Yep. I love me some dicks.
Oh, boy. And Timmy, you have an affectionate moniker that you go by that you encourage people to use is Timmy the Cripple.
Or yes. Cripple Timmy.
Or Cripple Timmy.
Yeah. Or Hey Cripple, just Cripple.
Yeah,
or just Cripple.
Just flat out.
Why is that?
And we'll talk about why that is. Yes. So do you want to just start?
Let's start talking. Let's jump into
it. So the reason why that is because all of my life people sort of coddled me and, you know, tried to, like, people in my immediate family were always, like, trying to, like, don't talk about it.
You have cerebral palsy?
Yes, I have cerebral palsy. So the only way we talk about it was if I had to go to the doctor, they would talk about it or, you know. But I was, it was almost like I was a piece of furniture. We just kind of put me in the corner and just don't pay attention to it. And I, being the mouthy, vociferous person that I am.
You are ebullient.
I stick out a lot. And so they were just rolling their eyes like, man, we just can't. There's no keeping this guy down, right? So as I was, when I got a little older, right around in my 20s, it was a big deal for everything to be politically correct. So that started to come, and the disability issues started to come up. I gotta quit banging on the table.
But differently abled
era of, like, well, now we're starting to get, you know, put into the workplace. It was sort of like they're sort of writing ADA laws, like, hey, we have to consider these people.
Mm-hmm. They have human value.
Right.
They're
actually people.
They're not furniture.
Strange. Yeah. What? Why is that? So there's, like, two sides to that issue for me.
And they like dudes.
But the very first thing that I really just got irritated with was sort of the kind of pandering, sort of, you're differently abled.
Mm.
Don't diss my ability.
Oh, God.
You know, you're handy capable, which is my least favorite.
I remember when that one became popular.
So,
yeah.
So I would just, I'm like, it sounds like shit on roses to me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, who is this for? This isn't for me.
Yeah.
Sure.
This is to make you feel better.
Yep, yep.
Right. And I always felt like I spent so much of my life, and I kind of still do in a way, trying to bridge that gap and trying to say, hey, I will make up for your discomfort by being funny or by me or whatever I'm doing to kind of bridge that, kind of break that ice.
Mm-hmm.
And so this to me was a step backward.
Sure.
Because now we're making, it's kind of like that South Park episode, which I adore, with the conjoined twin syndrome where she had the twin. And she's like, now that you've made it this huge deal, now it's a problem. Like, if you would have just treated me like everybody else, it would be fine. And so there's a double side to that. There's, like, the dark side of that is like, so if I get treated like everybody else, there's this backlash that happens where they say, well, then screw you. You don't get special toilets or parking spaces if you want to be treated so much like everybody else.
So
then they ignore the afflicted part or the hard part, the struggle part.
Elevator's broken. Get over it, cripple. Like,
as though there's a difference between, you know, hey, all I want is equal footing, and that might require some modification.
Yes.
Right. That doesn't mean screw you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's not the same thing as being cruel. You know what I mean?
Like, I feel like it's an unhelpful thing for the privileged people to say along the lines of, oh, I'm not racist. I don't see race.
Right.
How convenient for you white person to not see race and that sort of racial erasure.
Right.
You can accommodate people and help them without objectifying them.
Nobody's asking to take away the benefits that you have. They are asking to have the same ones.
Well, there's that
issue too, where people want to latch on to, well, I have a disability too then, because I want closer parking too.
There's a meme that I love that makes me think of you a lot, where there's they have people trying to see a game over a fence, and they're all different heights, and it's like equality, and they're each standing on the same size box, and so the short person still can't see, and the tall person can see, and the middle person can't see, and then it's like equal rights, and like the tall person has a low box so he can see over the thing, and the next person can see, and then and the shorter person has a taller box. Like, and that's equality, equal rights versus equality.
And so to kind of get back to the beginning, I suppose I should do that. Come back around is the reason why I kind of took that word and said, I'm so sick of the because I gotta tell you, as smiley and as outgoing and as positive spin as I am about like most things, and I think that's a definite, the two ends of the spectrum are because of it was so dark and cruel growing up and so bad that I just said, screw it. The only way you can fight that is just be the opposite of that thing.
Yeah.
And embrace that pain and then turn it around and make it some fun. And I learned at a really early age that making people laugh or doing a funny voice, or I have 1,000 people that live in here.
Yep.
You know, that will get you... Somebody will, like, you'll get a positive reaction from
most comedians.
And I mean all that I can possibly muster, because I have to get over all of your hang-ups and your prejudices and your idea of what I am. So I took the word cripple and gave it power for myself and said, I'm not affected by your, whether you want to coddle me or don't, if you hate me and call me a retard or whatever you do, because I always want to lump all that together.
Of course, yeah.
So that can still hurt me, but... I took that from you. That's my word. You don't get to say that word unless I allow you to say that word.
I like that.
Yeah.
So that's
And also,
what
I don't give a fuck if it makes you uncomfortable. That's what I call myself.
And, I think it desensitizes. I'm like, the more you are... And then I think people forget, though. I think there's some times where I'll run into strangers that are friends of friends of friends, and they'll say it, and they'll not quite get the joke. Like, it's like... I think you're missing the point.
I've referred to you as my friend Cripple Timmy before, and had people like, just look at me like I'm Hitler.
You're the worst person.
And I'm like, oh, that's what he calls himself. Like, also,
I kind of feel bad for my friends.
You shouldn't.
Explain it away all the time.
They explain it. That's good.
After a Drake's performance a couple of years ago, and we always call, you know, oh, Cripple Timmy's here.
Yeah, Cripple's here.
And one of the sound techs like lectured one of the members of our band about how terrible it was.
Was it Chad? Please tell me it was Chad.
They were lecturing Chad.
So Chad is Timmy's best friend for a long, long time. So that's extra funny.
Like, Chad just dropped the hammer on the guy. He's like, that's what he prefers to be called.
Right.
None of your fucking business.
Right.
Fuck
exactly.
You're getting offended on his behalf.
Right.
Why don't you check with him and find out whether he's offended
before
you walk in and
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is I realize there may be other disabled people in the audience that may or not be comfortable with that word.
Yeah.
And that's still not my problem, and still not your problem either.
That's problem.
That's something they got to look at their own life and say, why does that bother me? Why do I let that word bother me?
I feel the same way with the word cunt.
Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
I own that word. I am a cunt. I'm a raging cunt sometimes.
We all have one. We all have something that bothers us.
Yep.
But really, that's about you working on that. And then it's context.
Yeah.
It's clear when I walk into a room at Convergence, you know, at a performance.
And every
person does the norm,
that's
cheers from cheers.
Yep.
Clearly they love me. So they can say whatever they want. They go, God, you fucking crippled bitch. If they say that, I'll know you mean it. That you love me.
Yeah.
Right. So it's fine.
You're not dumb. You know when someone's insulting you.
Right. And we do get a little chuckle out of it every once in a while. Like, I was walking around the second floor of the hotel for Convergence one year. And I was in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot. I mean,
they don't want to pass you.
They don't know what to do. They're not sure. And Eric's at
Timmy's on crutches.
So,
it's okay.
So I'm handicapped.
Crutching along.
So I'm crutching along at my pace that I do. And Eric Knight, who's a friend of the show, Eric Knight, just stuck his head out, but he was in the back. So he was like, Jesus Christ, what's the matter with you? What are you, crippled? And this woman next to him went, seriously? And then he ran up to the front. I have to tell you, this is what happened. And we laugh and laugh about it. And I still laugh about it to this day. I'm like, that's horrible.
Oh, man.
So, was so just dumbfounded.
That's great.
One of the things we were talking about with you, we were talking about having you on Geeks Without God, is... You've said that there's this kind of a people feel like they can touch you and
lay the hands on you
heal and you. You've been quote unquote healed by people before. You know, tell us about that.
I have two parts of that. One is not a Jesus-y part, and one is a Jesus-y part. The people who want to touch me and heal me everywhere I go. I have a little blurb on my Facebook. If you look at About Me on my Facebook, I came up with a little comic blurb one that I wrote. And it says, everywhere I go, people want to lay their hands on me and touch me. Just heal me. One of these days, I want to let them do it and then just try to walk and fall on my ass. And then go, God damn it, that didn't fucking work.
This shy asshole.
And just watch their faces.
Oh my god. You go, oh my god.
What? So,
and my Christian cousin Kate was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever. I'm like, when you think about it, you know, you don't get to decide that for me, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people, what they'll do is they just come up on the street. I'll be at a bus stop, I'll be at Target, it doesn't matter. Hi, can may I lay hands on you?
Seriously?
It's almost like, or I'm going to pray. If I say no, then I'm going to pray for you. Can I just pray for you? I can't get anything done because I'm getting stopped.
Wow.
All the time. It's so rude. And it's like I kind of go, I was always very empathetic. I'm like, you know, I understand your intentions are good. You're trying to be kind.
No, you're fucking not. I'm sorry.
It's for them.
What I used to think.
I'm sorry. I will let you finish your thought.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So I used to think that until I became an atheist. And one of the last, you know, everybody's got a last straw.
Yeah.
Right? So my last straw, and I might have written it in my five questions, was you had said in the five questions you guys wrote, what's the stupidest thing anybody...
Oh, yeah, you did. We did the questions, yeah.
And this pastor was walking down the street. I was on 7th and Hennepin. He's walking down the street with a group of followers. And he came up to me and wanted to minister to me. And I said, I really don't have time for you to minister to me. And
good job.
I was on the verge, you know what I mean? And he had said, I just want to pray for you, brother, because you're full of Satan. You're full of sin. And that's why you're disabled.
No.
And I just was like, snap. Like, I just was like, that's it. I'm done. Look, buddy.
I mean,
you know, and
45
I kind of,
years at that point, probably. Like,
just,
50
I'm
years
so
of just
done.
Like, yeah.
So
like,
done.
Just being like this and living
like,
this way.
I can't win because I'm always a problem no matter what, right? In the eyes of God, I need to be fixed constantly. I need to always be fixed. And I just got tired of living the guilty life of you're not good enough, you're not
Jesus.
Good enough, you're not... Because then you go out in the world as a disabled person, you're not good enough, not good enough, not good enough.
Yeah.
So one of the things about that really incensed me about, again, to kind of bring up the whole disability movement thing or the politically correct thing, was... Now we forgive you for being disabled, so here's all these niceties to make up for the fact.
How gracious of us.
How can we make things better for you now that we've totally ruined your life up to this point? So I'm just so irritated, and so I used his own medicine on him because I used to study a lot of the Bible. I was grew up in a house where my brother was what I used to call a Jesus freak. I went to the Jesus People Church. I have a great Jesus People Church story, you guys. I was healed once. I want you to know.
Didn't take.
Oh, I don't know.
it's playing the long con.
It's up in the end. So it might have worked. I don't know, you guys.
The day you die, just like that, fixed.
Lord, you know it. So I went through this thing where I forgot where I was now. That's so hilarious.
I'm so sorry.
Where was I? So I was saying I grew up very religious. So I used some kind of a Bible verse. I kind of paraphrased it a little bit. I said, who's a greater witness for God? you who has a body that works and is everything's great, or me who has suffered so long with my disability and still I believe.
Nice.
Right?
That's a good
They
job.
All were just like, preach, brother, preach. Like, they all just turned. Nice. And I thought, boy, it's so easy to turn these sheeple. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You can just, if I just say the right, and I realized, like, right then, and I think I kind of knew when I was younger, that I have a lot of power that I'm afraid to use. You know? Because I love to use words. Words are that's my magic.
Yeah.
Right? So I love that I can just say the right thing and you all of a sudden change into this other person.
That's amazing.
Because you're afraid of offending me because I'm disabled or Jesus, I'm blessed by God.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm filled with the Holy Spirit suddenly and where's the devil?
Except you were filled
He's
with sin like
yeah.
5 minutes
yeah,
before.
Yeah,
gone
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Well, yeah. All of a sudden, there's no Satan.
That's the great thing about God is instantly I've been changed.
Yeah.
There are people that think that suffering is holy.
Yes.
There are people that think that being, like it was Mother Teresa. Thought that
I'm the most godly person on earth.
Right?
Newly fucking sainted Mother Teresa.
Wow. Thought that impoverishment and suffering and disease were holy. That
yes.
was like a mark
well,
of purity.
The Bible practically says, I mean, the Beatitudes
yeah.
are all about.
Yeah.
They're fascinating because if you look at them as a social construct,
right.
what the Beatitudes are essentially saying is be satisfied with the
yeah.
fact that you aren't the elite.
And what we're saying, Timmy, is you could make a lot of money. So, like, I mean, you could shave your head and be the crippled guru and, like, let people touch
okay.
you and you could tell them if they touch you, they get special wish powers.
Now, the only caveat to that, now, not that they didn't believe a lot of things that are screwed up about the Bible anyway, so
yeah.
that covers it. But I always thought the only caveat to that was physician, heal thyself. Right? So, I mean,
Just tell people that you took someone else's sickness and brought it into you.
Yeah, you have
that.
Yeah,
there you go. The green mile.
No. When you were born, Jesus put a crippled soul into you, and you're the vessel. They love the word vessel. They're really all about the word vessel.
I want to go back to this thing of people walking up to you.
Right.
Oh, good, because there's part two,
and
it's really sexy.
And laying on you and saying they want to pray, because, you know, I don't even think, I hope that even non-atheists would have a problem with this behavior.
Right?
Because it is, you said selfish, Molly. It is. It's selfish. It's selfish and it's narcissistic. It's
right.
like, if I lay my hands on you, it will do literally fucking nothing.
Even if it, no, hold
or
on,
you
how about this?
Me, I got scabies once.
If it fixes
oh,
him.
Oh shit, or MRSA, or.
Even if it fixed him. That's making me feel good about my powers to fix
yeah.
it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So you got scabies.
No, God threw you. Well, yeah. I got scabies from someone touching me to lay hands on me. I got scabies. Like,
oh my God.
I had scabies.
And that's really, I mean, like, okay, so like little things, maybe I'm wrong, but I know that like if you're in a wheelchair, for example, or if you're
little
things can be problematic like that because of just like you have a lot of medical things going on and something
right.
as small as chicken pox or scabies
right.
or whatever can fuck you up.
Well, and just the fact logistically getting to the doctor.
Yeah.
yeah.
And keeping your like wounds clean and just things
yes.
like that are not easy.
Self-care.
And Jesus.
Yeah. Right, and they have no concept. It's just, there's a thousand I could go on all day.
What's the sexy half to this?
Yeah, what's
so
the
sexy half is, because of the way, now this is, so because of the way I walk and the crutches I use and the way I've always walked all
yeah.
my life, I can't stand up straight all the way because I have to kind of lean forward to
yeah.
use them to brace myself. I have crutches, so I have like 4 points that you
yeah.
lean
yeah.
on, right? And that makes my rear end stick out a little bit.
It's true. I've noticed your
and
butt.
People notice that.
Yeah.
It's nice. He's got
for
a really
sure.
nice
I got
butt.
A nice little tiny butt, and it's very tight because I use that particular muscle
sure.
all the time for control and locomotion kind of thing. So ever since I was a little kid, people were touching my butt. So I had this really mixed understanding of why is that okay? Like, so you love me and Jesus loves me and I'm God's child, but you want to molest me? Like, I couldn't.
Weird.
I was like, what does this mean? So it took me years to separate the two out.
Yeah.
And figure out, like, what's going on? Now I just, again, like the word cripple, I just take it in and empower it.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, touch it.
Yeah. Yes, I've seen it. You post like, oh, a delivery boy who came with my pizza. Like, he liked it. He wanted it. He was cute. He was flirting with me. He liked what he saw.
Hey,
like, yeah.
Hey.
So with your butt, it might be like a pregnant woman thing where it's like, there's a part of your body that's sticking out
and obvious, or more prominent.
And
I think
I get to touch that because it's different.
Because it's there. And it's almost like this weird. So there was a guy who picked me up at a bar once that grabbed my butt. And I was getting to a stage in my 20s where I was getting pissed off.
Yeah.
Stop touching me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Touch me. And I turned right. That one particular day, I was just full of vinegar. Like,
yeah.
So I turn on this guy and he's like, I go, God damn it, go touch my ass. You know, and he's like, sorry, I see something I like, and I reach out and grab it. And I was like, all right. You know, I'll give you, at least you had some back for me.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't just go, oh my God, you're a holy vessel, I'm sorry. So I can appreciate that.
Sure.
I'm like, all right, you're my people, you get me.
To a lesser degree, I get that with my hair. Like when I was in high school and my hair is super curly and I would wear it really curly.
People
would come touch it.
Right.
And I remember at 14, I said to my mom, the next woman who puts her hands in my hair, I'm going to grab her tits. And I'm going to ask her if they're real. Because they would always put their hands in my hair and go, oh my God, is this a perm?
Right.
Like strangers.
Yeah,
just
totally.
Like, I'm going to grab their boobs and be like, are these silicone? I can't tell.
It's
like,
very strange human behavior.
It is.
I'm not much of a touch person.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I will give people hugs if I know them well, but when a new person's like, I'm a hugger, it's like, back the fuck off.
Yeah,
right.
You know, it's like, you don't get to decide. And so being somebody who's like, I am uncomfortable with strangers touching me. The concept of walking up to a stranger or even a friend and without saying, Molly, I would really like to touch your hair.
Right.
You know,
right.
To which point Molly can say, no, get the fuck away from my hair. But maybe, like, all right.
There's agency.
Yeah.
She's in control of it.
Yeah.
The
concept that somebody thinks that's okay, that there isn't a voice in their brain that says, what the fuck are you doing right now and why don't you stop?
And that's the agency thing. I think people put you in the category of other. And because you're an other, you can't have agency, much like a pregnant woman or a black person's hair or whatever.
That's
it's like, oh, you're other and therefore I don't have to afford you the same.
You're not a person, you're an oddity. You're something strange for me to look at and touch.
I am a curiosity, and a lot of times it really is, they get this mental tick in their brain where they're thinking, you'll like it, I'm doing you a favor.
Or someone's paying attention to you. I bet no one does that.
No one does.
You poor thing.
You
just want anybody to pay attention to you. Yeah.
I bet you'll like it.
I'm helping.
Right. I'm a helper.
Yeah.
Exactly. I get that a lot.
I want to let you know that you're part of humanity.
And
as part of humanity, I welcome you by physically touching.
Yeah,
oh my God, you guys, I'm so great for including him.
Yeah.
So we have to
Timmy
know.
Timmy is the first cripple on our podcast, so this is seriously inclusive.
Nice.
Hey.
Oh my God, you guys. Just shut up, Timmy. We're so great. Like, shut up, Timmy. We're so good that we had this poor unfortunate on our podcast.
I'm gonna be patting myself on the back.
I feel really good about myself as a white person right now.
I'm gonna break my own arm patting myself on the back. So we have to hear about the faith healing story, like, for sure.
Okay, so
like,
that's
gotta be.
So I've been through a lot of various forms of religion. I started out Catholic.
Yeah.
I got a little quick one about that. I was at church when I was a little kid. Church always made me uncomfortable. It's these big, scary Gothic buildings. It's loud organs. It's weird chanting.
It's just uncomfortable.
That sounds, it reminded me of like the movie of the week, The Devil's Daughter.
Oh,
there was always these blah blah blah.
Don't
like
stop
it's always
you.
Evil because that was always the serial killer in the movie with the broken glasses.
Yeah,
like,
and the smoke and the incense.
You know, and that's not always reminded
you,
me
Damien.
Of that. So they were singing a song one day about Jesus, eat his body, drink his blood. I screamed out loud like when I was 5 years old in church. I'm like, eat his body, drink his blood. That's gross.
And hopefully at that moment, like 20 people in the church were like, he's right. We got him to walk out.
Right. In the age of AIDS, that's not appropriate. No,
my
but I
God.
Was little, so I was in the 70s. And then my brother decided that he was going to take it upon himself because he went through kind of treatment and what's the, how am I drawing the blank? The organization that rescues teens at Teen Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Teen Challenge, very Jesus-y. So he got involved in the Jesus People Church, was a church in Minneapolis.
Okay.
Where they believe in all the, like, praise, raise
the
your
born
hands,
again.
Speak in tongue,
yep.
Born again.
Oh, speaking
the
of
Jesus
tongues.
People Church used to be in one of the historic theaters.
Yes.
It used to be in the State Theater.
Yes.
Until like 2000, no, the Pantages, until like 2002 or something.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah.
And I went there, he dragged me there. And
so did your whole family kind of convert to that kind of
no.
idea?
No.
Okay.
My mother started out Catholic, and my mother and father got divorced soon after I was born. And then I stepped
out
there, and he died right away. So there was not... So they was like, well, she was excommunicated like twice. So she sort of, we only went on holidays because my grandmother sang in the church. She was an opera singer, and she would sing Silent Night in German at Christmas time. She would sing. So she was the soloist. So we had to go, your grandmother might die. You have to get, you know, every year was that thing. So I would go. And I never was comfortable in church. Never. I never was. But my brother's like, come to my church. It's way more like fun and accepting. And we sing songs. And okay, I'll give it a try. Because to me, I was like, there must be some thing greater than me that can help me. Because I always felt like everybody makes me feel disabled. So Jesus heals the lame, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes them walk. And I've always told this all the time, my whole life. So I believed that for the longest time. So we get there, and we're in the front pew, or in the second pew, and I'm holding on to the first pew, and the priest is going by, and he's bapping people on the forehead
demons
to heal
be gone.
Them.
Like the demons be gone,
yes,
kind of a thing.
Gone,
yeah.
Heal, right?
Yeah.
Of course, I can't stand up, so my crutches are behind me, and I had different ones then. I didn't have these kind. I had some quad canes, which just fall over.
Yeah.
If you let go of them, they fall over. So I wasn't using them. They were behind me. And I'm holding onto the front, the back of the pew in front of me, and everyone's standing because we're all doing this, except me. So I got my head down or whatever, and he comes by and he baps me on the forehead, heal, and I fall backwards, and I try to grab the pew, and I take the entire pew with me.
Oh my God!
And slam into the pew.
Oh my God,
me.
Timmy!
I know, right? So I landed fine. I was fine. You know, I landed fine, and my eyes were closed the whole time, and I caught my eyeball open, and my brother is standing there next to the pew, looking at me, and we both kind of looked at each other sideways, and everybody rushed me, like, oh my God, Jesus is in you, you're healed, and my brother and I are like snake eyes, looking at each other like, I think we're done.
Yeah.
Like, we both were like, you know.
Jeez.
Was that it for him, too? Was he done after that?
Well, it's like this. My brother does kind of like what a lot of people do. He fell out of it for a long time. And then now that he's getting older and getting more frail, it's back
to
God
and
Jesus again.
Yeah.
And I start to believe all the conspiracy theories, and I start to, you know. So, I'm not, like, talking so loud, but this just gets me all riled up.
Yeah, such
a thing. So, we never, and on the way out of the church, I mean, I was followed. Like you said, I could make millions of dollars just being Timmy the Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know?
Absolutely.
And I've often thought about it, but I mean, I just think that's a assholish thing to do.
Do you?
Money.
Did you feel when you were younger, did you feel because of all this religion and all the, like, you know, Jesus heals the sick and the lame, and but you have to believe and all that, did you feel like it was your fault you were still disabled?
I did, and I lost friends over that. I used to try to heal my handicapped friends and talk and pray with them about Jesus.
Oh, man.
And I lost a really good friend because it never worked, and one day he just got fed up. And all these little bits over time, eventually I just said, you know, you gotta give this up, dude. This isn't working.
It's so fucked up to, like, put the onus of someone's disability on them.
Right.
And to be like, the reason you're not getting better is because you don't believe.
Maybe people might say that, you know, well, it's all what they teach you in college and school, you know. Well, in a way, that's true. I took psychology classes. I started to learn. You go to ACA, like Adult Children of Alcoholics places. And I had a lot of friends who went through that.
Alateen.
And I would go with them. And you learn about onus and about taking the responsibility on yourself. So you're like, hey, it's my deal. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the disability happened through a series of unfortunate events or factors that I didn't have any control over. It is what it is. Just like you have brown hair and you have blonde hair.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? It's like, okay. So once you learn acceptance and you kind of go, okay, well, I'm going to take control of that situation.
Yeah.
Jesus, fuck you, don't take the wheel. It's my wheel. I'll drive.
If Christian faith healing worked, everyone would be Christian and we wouldn't have doctors.
If Christian, right, exactly, if Chris, right. Okay, can I just say, Christian faith
healing. But God works through those doctors.
Yeah. Christian faith healing to me has always been the worst fucking thing, because you're saying, your God made me sick. Your God made me this way, but he's willing to fix it if I kowtow and grovel.
It's a nice body you've got there, Molly. You'd be ashamed if anything happened to it.
How shitty is that for God to, like, I've always thought it's very shitty, people who say that you're designed this way, like, for God to give me a uterus and then, like, not give, if I were barren and wanted kids, not give me kids, but then give me cancer in the uterus.
And even my mother, who was excommunicated, would always say, I prayed to St. Gerard that you would live, because she had a miscarriage before me. So she was, so
did she feel guilty?
She did, and she lived. And
she
prayed for you
to be this
way. Right, and if I was going to live, I was going to be a vegetable. There's this big story about how I wasn't going to make it. So she believes, because she prayed to St. Gerard, that that's why I'm okay.
Yeah.
I was meant to be here, or whatever. So I grew up with this believing I had some reason for being. Like, I had a purpose.
Well, you were born in what, like 66, 67?
65.
So, like, the understanding about cerebral palsy then was nothing.
And I had friends a couple years afterwards who had the same kind of surgery and a little bit of different modification idea. But they walk, they're fine.
Do you think
you wouldn't
kids
know that they were disabled? And I missed it by like this much, you know.
Yeah.
Now they know they can train other parts of your brain to take over for the parts that don't send the messages, and you can learn.
Do you think that even with this, like, climate of, you know, political correctness and all that stuff that you know can feel frustrating? Do you think kids that are being born into this, are they going to have a different experience than you did being foisted upon you?
I do. I do. Yeah. Well, I think in some respect. I don't think that hands-on thing is
No. But the idea of you're disabled.
I don't think the bullying and the cruelty through school is ever going away. I think they'll become hypersensitive, and I've already seen it. I've already seen it in people younger than me. It's that super triggered, everything's, you know, I can't take anything. And it really does you a disservice.
Interesting.
It does.
Yeah.
To me, because you're like, let's just deal with the realities and we'll deal with it as it comes. And you will learn to acclimate yourself to the parts that you can accommodate.
Yeah.
And then the things that you can't wear just like anyone else. There are things in your life that you can't really do much about that are not great.
Are you saying that cripples are just like the rest of us?
We're all less like we're just like
everybody. There's a little bit of cripple in all of us.
That's right. That's exactly.
Well, if I play my cards right, maybe.
You know, what are you doing there?
I look like a boy with my bra off.
All right. On that note, we're going to go to our five questions.
Okay, well, can I come back and talk about just sex the next time? Because
there's
so much disability sex
I would
things
love
to
have,
I would love to
dude,
talk about.
I would love to talk about disability. I think that would be a great. We'll have you back, Timmy, for sure.
Awesome.
So, just before we get to questions, thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, thanks
we
for
appreciate
having
it.
Me.
We love
and,
you.
I invited myself. So.
No,
it was great.
No, you did not. I was glad you did.
You're very welcome.
You are someone that we've wanted to talk to for a long time, but it's hard to be like, how do we say to Timmy, like, you want to talk about being crippled on our show for entertainment?
Yeah.
Like, it's
hey, buddy,
you want to
be our token for 30 minutes?
Do you want to make us all feel better about ourselves? Because we need you for inclusive.
I do feel better about myself. I really want to say right now.
Do you?
I feel a lot better about myself.
Is it because you haven't touched Timmy in a whole 45 minutes and you didn't try to fix him?
I'm going to touch his butt as soon as this
Man, this is the best podcast ever.
Question number one. What is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
Oh, man. Okay, so I thought and thought and thought about this, and my trigger reaction is always going to be either Raiders of the Lost Ark or Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
But to be honest, I am a person that my brothers and sisters always said, is it live or is it Timmy? Because Memorex had this thing, they're a cassette recording company, that I memorize everything. Like, I have movie lines in here, and I act them out as the character. Like, I have them in here. So any movie I love, or a blockbuster almost every time. If it's a summer blockbuster, I can't help myself.
You're a movie guy.
The nerd in me is like, oh. Or if it's a movie that is an independent film that most people don't know about, that I love, like I love The City of Lost Children.
Yeah, sure.
You know, something will come up, and I'm like, oh, but see, I love old movies, too.
Is there a movie you won't watch, maybe, is a better question.
Yes. Now, this is going to be an interesting thing for you to talk about sometime. I don't like movies about demonic possession. I don't like The Exorcist.
Oh.
I don't like these, and I don't know why, and it's silly, because if you don't believe in God,
you you just don't.
But just something about that just bothers me, and I don't know what it is.
It's the horror genre that I'm least interested in, just because I'm just like, oh, okay, it's the devil in the body. Cool, I'm good. Sure. Like, I don't... It doesn't do anything for me.
And I think it's just from like
when oh, okay, it's a dude with a knife killing people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's from when I was little. That was such a period that. In the '70s too of all demonic
satanic panic.
So I was terrified, of course, because we were inundated with God is not only is the devil horrible, but God is vengeful and he'll hurt you if you don't.
You're the devil.
If you're not perfect, you're in trouble, Mister.
That's amazing. Right?
So I always
don't play that game or read that book. Uh-huh. Devil will get you.
Right.
I'm just going to hold on to the fact the first movie you named is Raiders of the Lost Ark. So.
That's fair.
I know. I did that just for you.
Yay.
Question number two. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
Okay, so being a disabled person, I hope I get to include this in everything. I love it. So when you move a lot, people help you move things. You lose a lot of things.
Yeah.
They leave stuff behind because they're not you and they're not focused on what they're supposed to pack or whatever. So all my really prized possessions are gone. I don't really have any. So I guess, to me, I have two things I thought of. I thought, I'm a digital whore now. I used to have thousands of DVDs.
Timmy gave me all the Wheel of Time books on Kindle.
Yeah, see what
I'm
a digital whore.
He has everything.
Like books, movies, TV shows. If it's anything nerdy,
comics,
if it's anything movie.
Too. Yeah. Yeah, you do a lot of digital
comics
stuff.
I have a one-room apartment and nowhere to put, and I have boxes
of comics. So digital's perfect,
now.
Yep.
You bastard, I hate you forever. It's all Nick's fault that I started back on comic books. But I really, that's my prized possession, is all of my digital media.
Yeah,
my
that's
media,
great.
Sure.
That's geeky.
My paper comics.
You back stuff up good, right?
I do. I like to back it
up.
That's right, I do.
Yeah, he does.
Speaking of grabbing his butt.
What you're working with.
but for real, I'm just saying, like if that's your prized... You have something. You're doing something, right?
Right.
It's when people
you're
say...
You're an IT guy.
Talk about their digital... possessions,
yes.
Like all of a sudden, I can't help but to be like, sound like, oh, but you're using condoms, right, sweetheart? Like you have backup though, right? You have something in the cloud or something.
3-2-1 rule.
Yeah, right on.
3-2-1.
I gotta
know. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So that's the thing. And the other thing I wanted to say was my time.
Oh.
I spend so much of my time giving to other people, helping them with every doodad, electronic, and thing since I can remember, and I'm like. People are on me constantly. My phone is just blowing up. It's like constant. I could have a side business and be wealthy if I did it right. You know?
Yeah.
But I have no
time. Two businesses.
So that's why I love Omegacon so much. I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna hide my room. I'm not gonna do anything.
No phone.
I'm just gonna want. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Phone,
no light. No motor car. Yes, Timmy.
Yes. Spending time in Bali. I love it.
Question number three is: what supernatural, magical, or otherwise mythical, all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Yeah, this was a hard one for me too, because I always feel like that's akin to believing in God or Jesus, that they're all powerful. So they're So I had a really hard time with it. Yoda is my trigger.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yoda's a good answer.
I think Yoda would be cool.
Yeah.
Because it would also include that there's another species that's not human that's smart and thinks and. So I always thought that would be a really
plus,
cool.
Like Yoda is at worst fairly benign.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of a trickstery guy, but also he's a force of good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he does believe in an invisible magical force that.
But it's real.
But it's real because he's got proof and he can make
There's
it
actual midichlorians. You can look under a microscope.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go that
far. You know, I loved Yoda, and I just note from the prequels that I just have to say. Everybody was so excited about Yoda opening up a big old can of Jedi whoop-ass.
Yeah.
But I feel like what would have happened is Dooku would have come at Yoda. He would have held out a hand and Dooku would have stopped moving.
Right.
Yeah.
Done.
And Yoda would have been like, I can do this all day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Fucking Captain America style.
Yeah. He's strong in the Force.
Yeah.
He's physically,
needs the lightsaber duel unless there's no other choice.
It did
the
character disservice.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yoda was just toying with him for fun.
That's cool. Maybe it's been a while since he's gotten to use his lightsaber.
Maybe he just needed to work out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Question number four. Saber religion is gone. What is the biggest obstacle humanity now faces?
This is my other struggle question.
Yeah.
So, my gut reaction is to say I wanted to go environmental and say global warming and the environment, but I really feel like what it is that people's kind of human beings are sort of their hubris. They're feeling that, hey, we got this, you know, and that's part of the problem. That's why we have environmental issues. They don't. And welcome to Krypton, everyone. So it's like a hand-in-hand kind of thing, but and then I vacillated back to, while I really think equality, inequality is a problem, being a person who is in a minority that is not very treated very equally very often.
A very, very, even I would say one of the minorities that gets the least attention in terms of, right. like, you need rights. Like,
yes, for sure. And so that's a thing. So I guess if I had to say, I'd say equality issues, the inequality of women, people of color, people with disabilities,
yeah.
the fact that we're given a backseat to literally everything, everyone who's not white, straight, males.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean to feel you guys, make you guys feel bad, because I think Tim's an asshole.
Oh, you can't make me feel bad. I'm a white, straight male. It's pretty good.
There's nothing you can do to
about
right.
that. So, but, you know, that to me was a big issue. Yeah. That's, I worry we're going to kill each other long before the Earth ever is.
Yeah. Oh, we certainly are. I honestly...
It seems hard to imagine a situation where that doesn't happen.
All three of those things are kind of feeding on each other. I have a hard time getting worried about the heat death of the universe when, like, we're literally murdering each other day to day.
We'll beat global warming right to the punch.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Global warming will be like, damn, guys, all right.
Hey, you know, chill.
Question number five. Timmy, what's your favorite quote?
Okay, so I also had, I always want to trigger to a movie quote, like go right to a movie quote right away.
Yeah.
I was looking through quotes too online. I'm like, see, these are not quite me. But I really love, I just watched Harry Potter.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I love that Dumbledore says, in my not so humble opinion, I feel that words are our most inexhaustible source of magic.
Mm.
And being a word guy,
yeah.
I love words. I love language. I love old 1940s. Say there, kid.
Yeah.
Moxie. I love all the kind of ways that words have power and how you can use those. And to me, that's what I did growing up. Was mm-hmm. words were my shield and my sword. The mm-hmm. fact that I could come up with a quick comeback, you know, or use my words well, for good or evil,
yeah.
that's a very powerful thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so that, to me, was my answer. Is words, I guess, is what
I love
would
that.
Say.
An inexhaustible source of magic.
And, there was a quote I ran across by Arthur Ashe that fits my disability to me, that he said, Arthur Ashe said, something along the lines of, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can.
That's great.
Mm.
And
yeah.
that's me.
No, that is 100%.
Because all you can do is start where you are.
All you can do is all you can do.
I can't be you. I can't run like you can.
Yeah,
but
I can't
have things I can do that maybe you can.
Right.
Yeah.
I guarantee you do.
Just because I'm crippled Jesus, I have inroads that you don't have.
Yeah, I've only had anal like once. It was all right.
I mean, talk about. Here's a guy who, I mean, let me tell you.
Bottom bitch.
You know what I'm saying? I can handle it.
You heard it here, listeners.
I'm like, that's nothing. You ever had your muscles cut apart with a saw?
This is nothing. Honey, it's cute you think your dick is hurting me, but I've had my muscles torn apart with a saw.
Cute,
that's a nice pickup.
You're
line.
Cute.
And on that note,
and with anal sex.
Thanks
Yay.
So much for being our guest and talking with us, telling us your story. And all
that's
that.
So many more.
We appreciate it. Maybe we'll try to find a way to get you back on
sure,
again
absolutely.
In the future. Otherwise, we're Geeks Without God. You can follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter, or whichever is the other way that works, right?
I don't understand any of this anymore.
And like we said last episode, we got a button maker. We're working on buttons for some of our Patreon folks. If you want to get in on that button love, or you have any cool button ideas, let us know. If you throw us a few bucks on Patreon a month, it hooks you up with the button club.
And you could have heard this episode early.
Yeah. If you were only giving us a mere $2 a month on Patreon, you'd be getting all of our episodes as they are finished, usually weeks early because we record a couple at a time.
If this is release day and you're a Patreon supporter,
you've already heard
this episode.
Yep, you heard three in a row. That's right.
That's right. And if you give your money to me on Crippletron, just a couple dollars a month will get you all the miracles you can handle.
That's a lot of miracles.
It is.
You gotta
I don't think I can handle any miracles.
Can I lay my hands on you?
Oh, you know what? I'll watch it.
Awesome. We've been Geeks Without God, and thanks for listening. Have a nice week.
Bye.
Bye.
Does Timmy have that bubble butt?
He do.
Dad ass.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
You work your butt out, Timmy. You really do.